today's gospel story about the Pharisee and the tax collector found only in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 to 14, is one of the thousands of scripture passages that finds its way into the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The Mass, as you know, is a scriptural prayer. Everything is a quote from sacred scripture. The Mass begins with the entrance antiphon from God's inspired word. Today it was Psalm 105, verses 3 to 4. Next with the sign of the cross, that's Matthew 28, 19. Then the priest says, "The Lord be with you." That's Luke 1, 28. And you respond, "And with your spirit." That's Galatians 6, 18. Mass is just one big scripture quote. And then we begin immediately, almost abruptly, with the reenactment of today's gospel of the Pharisee and the tax collector. We do not begin Mass by saying, "Oh God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, and adulterous." We do not begin Mass by saying, "Oh Lord, I would like to thank you. You well know that this past week I fasted on bread and water twice on Wednesday and Friday. I gave up dessert every day this week. I gave 1/10 of my income to the parish and to the capital campaign. And I volunteered over 20 hours this week to help the poor. Thank you, Lord. It's been a really great week." No, we don't begin Mass like the Pharisee. Instead, Holy Mother Church, who's a good mom, always has us begin Mass like the tax collector. We begin Mass immediately, almost abruptly, by literally beating our chest and saying, "Through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault." By the way, it's grievous, not grievous. Be careful not to add that extra I in there. This phrase, of course, is iconic in Latin. Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. And the Roman Missal, the big red book, actually tells us to beat our chest. It says, "And striking their breast, they say, mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. Through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault." We do this inspired by the tax collector in today's gospel. The gospel also says that the tax collector would not even raise his eyes to heaven. You know, before the reforms of the Mass at the Second Vatican Council, the priest would never dare to run up the altar steps immediately and kiss the altar. Some of you might remember, as soon as the priest got to the very lowest altar step, he was abundantly aware of his own unworthiness to enter into the sacred mysteries of the Lord's death and resurrection. And so before bounding up and ascending the steps to the high altar, he would bow low at the waist, not daring to raise his eyes to heaven. He looked at the ground and beat his chest and prayed, "Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa." My traditional Latin Mass hand missal has a beautiful commentary on this action. This is what it says. "The striking of the breast means that the heart concealed within is the cause of sin and deserving therefore to be bruised, broken, and crushed. The insolent pride of the sinful heart must be bruised, broken, and destroyed in order that God may create a new and a clean heart within us." It's a beautiful two-sentence reflection on the beating of our chest. The heart concealed within is the cause of sin. Don't believe me? Let's take a look at what Jesus says in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus says, and I quote, "From within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts on chastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All of these evils come from within men's hearts, and they defile. So Jesus says the heart is the source of our desires. The heart is a metaphor for our will, right? The power of a rational soul to choose good and evil. We beat our breast to show that the heart, the will, the source of our desires, should be bruised, broken, and destroyed so that God can create a clean heart, a new heart within us. That's why we do that. The heart should be bruised and then broken and crushed. After King David had committed adultery and murder, he repented by saying in Psalm 51, "Have mercy on me, God, in your goodness and the greatness of your compassion. Blot out my offense. Create in me a clean heart, O God." God said through the prophet Ezekiel, this is in chapter 36, verse 26, God says, "I will give you a new heart and place a new spirit within you, taking from your bodies your stony hearts," your hearts of stone, rock, cold, "and I'll give you a new heart, a natural heart." This is what we pray for at the beginning of Mass. "Lord, take my bruised, broken, and crushed heart. Give me a new heart, not a stony heart. Give me a new heart, a clean heart, O God." Many of you might remember that after Pope Francis was elected Pope on the 13th of March 2013, 5 months later, on the 19th of August 2013, Pope Francis granted an interview with the Italian Jesuit priest, Father Antonio Speraro. And after some initial conversation between these two Jesuits, you know, the Pope is a Jesuit, Father Spadaro was a Jesuit, Father Spadaro turned on the recorder and was inspired to ask his first question. He had a series of prepared questions, but his first question came spontaneously, an inspiration on the moment. He said to Pope Francis, "Who is Jorge Mario Bergoglio?" That was his name before he was Pope Francis. "Who is Jorge Mario Bergoglio?" And the Pope just stared at Father Spadaro, and Father Spadaro was like, maybe I'm not supposed to ask that question. And the Pope was just thinking. And Pope Francis said, "You ask, who is Jorge Mario Bergoglio? I am a sinner." This is the most accurate definition of who I am. It is not a figure of speech. It is not a literary genre. Jorge Mario Bergoglio is a sinner. Pope Francis's response is consistent with what many of our Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters so beautifully say from Mexico and Latin America and South America. They tell me often, "Padre, yo soy un pecador. Padre, padre, yo soy un pecador. I'm a sinner." Now, if I could be so bold, I would add one word. Not just, "I am a sinner," but "I am a repentant sinner." Mary Magdalene is listed in the liturgical calendar not as a sinner, but as a penitent. That's a difference, isn't it? She's not just a sinner, she's a repentant sinner. She's a sinner who's sorry, a sinner who's contrite, a sinner who's willing to have her heart bruised, broken, and crushed in order to receive a new heart, a clean heart from the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Do you remember Cardinal Basil Hume? Cardinal Basil Hume, he was the Cardinal Archbishop of Westminster in London for 23 years, from 1976 to 1999. He died exactly 2 years after I was ordained a priest, on the 17th of June, 1999. He was a Benedictine monk for almost 60 years. He was the abbot at Ampleforth Abbey in England for 13 years, from 1963 to 1976, before being named the Archbishop of Westminster by Pope St. Paul VI. Well, in April of 1999, Cardinal Hume announced that he was diagnosed with terminal cancer, and he confided with his close friends. He said, "Oh, If only I could start all over again, I would be a much better monk, a much better abbot, and a much better bishop. Perhaps we think the same thing as well. Gosh, if only I could start all over again, I would be a much better wife, a much better husband, a much better son, a much better daughter, a much better student, a much better employee, a much better priest. But then I thought, and this is Cardinal Basil Hume talking now, but then I thought, but how much better if I can come before God when I die, not to say, oh, thank you, God, that I was such a good monk. Thank you, God, that I was such a good abbot. Thank you, God, that I was such a good bishop. Oh, thank you, God, that I was not like the rest of humanity. How much better it would be if I could come before God when I die, striking my breast and saying, oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. For if I come empty-handed before God, then I will be ready to receive God's gift of mercy. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner.